I do the 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
You can do whatever you want.
In 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, and I'm on.
At least at the moment I am conducting, I feel this is the greatest opera has ever been written. Because it is beautiful, just the story, the libretto, it's perfect. You go and you just follow the words and it is perfect. You go and just listen to the music without knowing even what is happening on stage. It's such a delight to listen to these beautiful tunes.
Mozart's Nozze di Fiero is probably one of the most exquisite treatises on the aspects of love. You have the young love of that is based on friendship and trust and the same class system with Susanna and Figaro, and it's the love that's new. It has everything ahead of it. They're about to get married. It's where we all start sort of in a relationship.
Susanna is very smart, I would say even smarter than Figaro, although because she's smart, she doesn't let him think that. And because think about it, this is happening in 18th century, and those sensibilities back then didn't allow for women to be superior to men. Equal, yes, very rarely, and in this case, Susanna and Figaro are equal. They have love towards each other, they have respect towards each other, and they are the best of friends. So they joke around, they love around, they solve their problems together, and they're on the same wavelength. She's very territorial too, and as soon as she sees any kind of threat to her Figaro, she becomes a wildcat. And that's the only moment in the opera when we actually see Susanna jealous and upset. There's only one moment in Act 3 when she thinks Figaro is actually happy in the arms of Marcellina. That's when she implodes inside and she's heartbroken. And but other than that, she when she gets the explanation, she's amused and she quickly believes Figaro's excuses, which are right most of the time.
Character of Figaro. It's an incredible role. It's a role that it's such a joy and a privilege to portray. He's an interesting fellow. He's got his hands in, you know, many different parts of the house. He's the valet to the count. He's the barber of Seville. He's a veterinarian. He likes to think that he's talented in everything that he tries. And that's how I identify with Figaro. Not that I am talented in everything that I try, but I like to try lots of different things in my own personal life. That's how I identify with the role. Moment that typifies Figaro of my true character is that I truly show how vulnerable Figaro is by the fact that I think that on my own wedding day, my fiance is going to cheat on me, and then at the end find that she hasn't and that she's, you know, been faithful to me and my true love all along.
Then you have love that is being tested with the Count and the Countess, where the newness has gone out of the relationship, the freshness, maybe the sense of fun and playfulness.
Countess, she is she's a sad lady at this point. She is, I would say, a feisty lady who's sort of gotten, unfortunately, depressed in many ways. Depressed in her moods, depressed, but also her feistiness has been subdued, and she is now wandering around this hunting villa that is very masculine and is totally the mood of her husband. It doesn't really have a flavor of her style or her personality, and she's wandering around very hopeless in this place now because her marriage is failing, and she's very, very lonely. And in fact, she's so lonely she befriends her maids and, you know, housekeepers and people in the villa as her friends because she has no one else to discuss things with, to communicate with. Her husband just ignores her.
Cat and mouse initially. It's not like right on top of her, right grabbing her.
He's a mouse.
Well,
I think that I'm completely under her power here.
She has the string where she's sort of leading you, but at the same time she doesn't want it to go too far. So she's got to keep putting the brakes on it.
Sometimes Count is very angry, like I used to play it, and is very cruel to his wife. Sometimes, like in this production, it's completely different. It's softer. It's new thing for me. And sometimes it's just nothing. Sometimes it's just weak. Sometimes it's just a playboy going from left to right, trying to find some catch. You know.
Those are the four main characters, but with Cherubino, you've got adolescent love, which is just, and all that testosterone just running amok in that child, and you've got his view of the idealized love that the Countess represents, where she's on a pedestal, and he has to adapt when the pedestal is not totally this vision that's perfect.
Most of the lines that are given me to say or sing, you know, the recitative and the arias, are certainly related to this aspect of him falling in love with every woman in the house. I think there's sort of two sides to it, though. I think that's one of the interesting things, is that the women encourage him as well. It's not totally one-sided. Barbarina wants to marry him. The Countess definitely has feelings for him. And depending on the production, Susanna is very fond of him as well. So I don't think it's... I think that's, for me, an interesting point, is that it's not totally one-sided. You know, he's not just this flighty young thing. as Cherubino, I put on a dress for the first time in rehearsals when I'm dressing up as one of the flower girls. All of the cast laugh and find it very funny, which I find amusing because I am a woman and sometimes I wear dresses. But the thing about the operatic world is that, of course, it's not reality, but we're trying to create this, you know, suspension of disbelief or whatever. And if you're doing it well, then people do find it very funny that you're dressing up as a woman. So that's amusing on so many levels.
You have Barbarina, who is the young puppy love, where she's got a crush on anything in pants, but especially Cherubino. And in a way, they're far more appropriate for each other. Then you've got the more mature love of Bartolo and Marcellina. Too often, they're played as real, just buffo roles, comic roles, where they're the clowns of the piece. And I'm very blessed to have Dolores Ziegler and Kevin Langett in the roles because they are artists who are still very vital, very full of energy. Culminates, I would say, in the finale of Act 4, when everyone thinks they've been betrayed. The men, on some level, everyone thinks they've been betrayed. And the Countess comes forward and says, and everyone's saying, forgive me, forgive Susanna, or who they think is the Countess. So they're all shocked. And forgive her, and the Countess walks in and says, perhaps you'll forgive her for my sake.
And I find this moment to be so incredible because every character is on stage and all music just comes to a standstill. And you think, what is going to happen? And I do it every single time. Even though I know this opera so well, I've sung it many, many times, I think everything is still. And he asks, kneeling, for pardon. And you think, well, what would happen if she answered a different way, you know?
Moment, all the couples have sort of resolved their issues in their relationships and in forgiveness, and the piece ends in an enormous healing for everyone, and the music is totally sublime to represent that healing.
If we can compare Beethoven to Michelangelo, if we can compare, let's say, Stravinsky to Picasso, I like to make these comparisons, art and music, we can compare Mozart to Raffaello. Raffaello and Mozart were artists able to express themselves with the most pure, with the most simple, with the most beautiful art. Everything is correct, simple, perfect. But because it is so simple, so easy to listen, because the music of Mozart is great for children, is great for scholars, because it is so simple, don't think it is a shallow music. It is very profound, very, very deep. And nothing could be more intense than a Mozart theme. It is very simple, but also very difficult to play, to conduct, to sing. And I think the work the orchestra is doing, did and is doing in these last years will be seen in this production. I think this will be one of the best opera that the orchestra will play. It's very rewarding to all of them, because in Mozart every single instrument has a specific, a very detailed melody part to play, to sing. And this makes them really feel very proud of what they are doing.
When you tell opera singers that they have to dance in a show, you get no. It's the first response. Second response is utter panic and then search for the guilty. I had a classical ballet background as well as modern dance, but ballet first and foremost. And that seems to be easy. As long as you can give them counts and give them steps, it doesn't have to be ballet steps. It really, this whole fandango is based on if you can walk and bow, you can do this fandango. Director is like a just like a director of theater or musical theater or even film. We're the ones who are responsible for what you see. We not only direct the action and set the pattern of the action, but we guide the characterization, the big arc.
And then, gentlemen, if you just step up stage and say, ladies. Quest'anima fera e triste non so, quest'anima fera e triste non so, quest'anima fera e triste non so.
the performers bring their moments and their interpretations, but you guide that so it comes together as a cohesive whole instead of eight people doing their interpretations, but it has nothing to do with each other. So that's kind of our job, is to bring continuity. We had a roundtable the other day in which somebody asked, why is Marriage of Figaro such an appealing opera to so many people? And Maestro Müller said something that was really, really beautiful. He said, this opera is perfect for people who have never seen an opera before.
A little before the very end, when there is the morale, the conclusion, and when the man asks, when the count asks, forgive me, and in this moment he is very sincere, and in this moment the soprano, the countess, is very sincere in forgiving him, and there is a little bit like the end of Falstaff, Verdi. It's not tutto nel mondo è burla, but that's the word. I love you, you love me, and love is the reason of the world and of music.
We're out.